Okay, we're starting our second class about dating. And we discussed previously one has to be in equilibrium. One has to know what one's dreams are, one's priorities, one's values. Now, there's one more point we should discuss. We touched on it before. The reality check. I woke up this morning for Vasikin. I didn't wake up yesterday for Vasikin, nor the day before, nor come to think of it for the last year and a half. But if you talk to me today, I'm a guy that goes to Vasikin. Hey, I'm telling you, tomorrow I'm going to do it too. I've been waiting to turn over this new leaf my whole life. You guys know it from all those people that quit smoking. I've quit. I'm telling you, that was the last cigarette. We know it from all the people who try dieting. That's it for me. No more sweets. So there's this reality check which we all have to undergo, and we have to understand who we are to discern between where we'd like to be and where we really are. Not so easy. Much easier said than done. You ask the average person, he'll tell you, I don't get upset. I'm an easygoing guy. Can't remember the last time I got upset. I'll tell you, what's the simplest proof for what I'm saying? You guys probably don't have this problem. I have a big problem come Elul time. I look at my slate and I say, what do I have to do tshuva for? Don't you guys have that? You don't have that? I guess it's only me. You look at yourself and you say, well, I don't remember. You know, you don't have that? Okay, maybe it's only me, but I think that we come to Elul and we say, gee, I don't remember, right? If I don't make a list, I'm spending Elul. Some of you guys have seen this already. I'm spending Elul writing lists. I'm always walking around with a piece of paper and I'm writing lists. I have lists from every year. Lists of what to daven about, lists of what my goals are, lists of what to do tshuva on, because I don't remember. So I have a poor memory, but I think we all, to an extent, have a poor memory when it comes to our weaknesses. We like to remember our successes. And so our self-image is sometimes built on all kinds of successes that are not real. They're fabricated. So here we have to work a little bit to connect with reality, which is, again, easier said than done. And it depends on what area in one's life. Sometimes it pays to take a piece of paper and start writing. On the top, you could begin with what we discussed previously. What are my goals? What are my values? What are my priorities? What are my dreams? Write yourself a mission statement for life. Now take the bottom of the page, or the next page, and ask yourself, okay, what of that am I doing? What of that have I accomplished? In what sense am I already on that path? What have I done that shows that I'm on that path? How consistent have I been in what I've done on that path? Very often you ask a person, what are your goals in life? I'm a family man. The most important thing to me is family. Well, when's the last time you called your mother to wish her a good Shabbos? I'm working, so I'll have money, so I'll be able to build my family. Okay. We have to stop and look and see, once we've written up what our dreams and goals and aspirations and values and priorities, once we've written those up, then we have to ask ourselves, okay, what do I do already? Because this is where my values and who I really am has to be discerned from what my aspirations and dreams are. Not so easy. Just like when we come to Elul, we sort of feel like, what do I have to do tshuva for? I'm okay. We don't remember that time right after Yom Kippur that we said something that was Lashon Hara. We don't remember that time that we got really upset at our parents and spoke improperly. We don't remember that time that we said something that wasn't exactly true as we were arguing to get a cell phone discount with the clerk. We don't remember all those little white or not so white things that we did. But then the question is, so who are we? So this is where we have to try and get a better handle on that. So that's a separate point. Now, we come to the next point. Why do we want to get married? So the reason we want to get married is very simple. God created a physical urge in every man, and we all have normal desires, and that's why we want to get married. Go to a date and tell a girl that. Very good. No, come to a class and say that. No, everyone says, I want to build a family. So the truth is that we are multifaceted. We really want a partner in life. And very often, we get carried away with our desire for a partner. We get carried away with our physical desires. They're both real. One of the things you're going to see in this class is that we try to be real. We're not ignoring the facts. We're not ignoring who we are. So it's normal, it's real, that we have our physical desires and urges and needs. And it's normal that we also have our desire for a partner, someone to share life with, someone who's going to be there for us and we're going to be there for them, someone to give to. It's not only to take from, it's also to give to. Someone, so to speak, to spread our wing over. Someone who will look up to us. Yes, men want that too. The Gemara has an interesting term for that. Nechos darga v'nasiv isisa, the Gemara says, take a step down and marry a woman. Don't marry a woman who you're going to look up to. Obviously, you have to value her in many ways. But there also has to be, and every person's ego is different, but there has to be an area where you feel she appreciates you. She values you. So that's a certain balance. What? No. It's a certain normal balance in a relationship. She is going to have her strengths, which you value her. And it could be that for you, what you want her strengths to be is that she should be the greatest chef. For another guy, he's the chef in the family, but she's the greatest one in chinuch. For a third guy, he's the mechanech, he's the chef, but she's the accountant. She's the brains. She's the one who's hosting all the guests. She's the one who's doing chesed. There are a million different areas. There's no one area where we say, you have to be stronger, she has to be stronger. But there does have to be within the relationship that area where you feel she values you and that area where you value her. And you might not know that in advance, what that area is. Once we touched on it, I'm mentioning it. But there's another point. Point which output is number one. Or at least number two. And that is children, family. And all too often, people are very into a lot of things. And not that, and even though theoretically that would go on their paper, and if I gave out pages here and I'd ask the question, why get married, everyone would fill that in. I know, I've done this. We've done this in our Binyan HaBayit class. But then when people are dating, and they describe the girl to me and why they like her, I come back and say, do you really think you could build a home with her? Do you really think she's going to be a good mother to your kids, and do you really think you're going to be a good pair? She tells me she's into art, and sometimes she could stand there painting a painting for a month at a time and forget that she has to eat or drink. But she wants a husband who's going to appreciate her art, and I appreciate it. She's an artist. I'm willing to be the one that brings in food and drink and reminds her, you know, you have to eat and drink. And I say, you're going to do all the diapers for the month? You're going to explain this one to me. I appreciate she's an artist, but where's the family in this picture? Oh no, she appreciates family. And what'll be when it's family versus the art? We've dated for 30 dates, just like you said, and that hasn't come up. So we have to take a step back and realize that family is at the center. And that's why I would put it as number one or number two. Now you'll ask me, hey, didn't you say that we have to be ourselves? Yes, be yourselves. Think for a minute. And in the long run, her beauty, no, it doesn't exactly stay the way it was when you got married. Maybe she'll look much better, right? You know, some women are married emaciated because they think they have to be. And then they get married and they build a family and they're healthy and everything's beautiful. That's true. But at the end of the day, it's not exactly the way you're dreaming. It's different. You're building something. What you're really building is you're building a home. And the home is the children and bringing up the children. So where that is on your priority list, you know, some guys say, I don't mind if she has a career. I don't mind if, you know, I'm the guy who's at home and I take the kids in when they come and I give them lunch and when they bang their knee, they come to me. I'm not telling you what your priorities should be. I think there are benefits to having a wife who will be warm with the kids and will be a good mother to the kids, but I'm not saying that has to be your priority. You know, to each his own. To a certain degree, this is where we say it's a question of who you are, not who you should be. But family has to be in that picture. It has to be thought about, and it is very often overlooked. The question of what kind of mother she's going to be, the question of how will we raise our kids together. People can often tell me, I don't care if I marry Haredi or Dati Lumi. Set me up with either one, I'm fine. And I say, where will you send your kids? You're fine, but what if she says, I want them with Payas, Haredi, Yom HaAtzmaut, they burn the flag. Now you tell me. Are you okay with that?
How do we know these are nows and not the what if and not the what could be?
No, there are people...
What kind of parents is a what if? How will it be?
What you don't know, you don't know. But sometimes I've seen too many guys dating girls who they knew would have serious problems raising kids. A girl tells you, I don't have patience. You know, the best I can do is on the dates. I'm nice to you. But you're going to bring a wailing kid to the house? Nope. There are nannies. You're laughing. I'm telling you true stories. Guys were holding by proposing to situations like this. And I ask, wait a second. What kind of mother is she going to be? Do you want kids? Is that important to you? People, if you give a person 30 dates, you learn a lot about the person. And all you have to do is look at them in that context. Is she someone who I could partner with to build a home? It could be that she's an only child. She doesn't know what it means to bring up kids, but she wants kids. She wants to build a home. So we'll work on it. All I'm saying is it has to be a part of the calculation, a part of the perspective. I'm not saying there's one formula. Get the girl who's the eldest sister to 15 kids. Who is that? I'm not saying that's the best. You know, she might say, I've had it. I was a mother already. I don't need any more, you know. I brought up all my siblings. Leave me alone. I'm not saying there's one formula. But in your perspective, in your question, in your dating, that has to take a central role. Whatever your approach is.
It comes with a conversation, not a question, correct?
We will discuss how the conversation should evolve. We'll get there. Yes?
Obviously, like, one of the wives is like more of a homemaker, but me personally, I don't find kids to be like cute or like amusing at all. Like, I babysat. Like I said, I'm gonna fix this to myself because if I'm one of the husbands, I've got to know how to deal with kids. I babysat, I find it even more annoying. You know what happens is as a result, I don't give them things when they cry. I said, if you're gonna cry, cry. And that they respect me a lot. Sometimes their parents give them everything. They cry to their parents and they would never cry even to me. But even so, I don't find kids to be like amusing. So like, would it be a better idea to like wait and start dating till like all of a sudden I like kids, you know? Or
this is a specific question. But I'll try to address it in short, okay? And if you want a greater length, so either we could do it in 1-on-1 or on a Thursday, okay? First of all, men have less patience for kids than women. That's usually the case. I've seen many men holding a baby as he cries, and at some point saying, you know, I've been holding you for 5 minutes, you haven't calmed down, why am I holding you? Goodbye, keep crying. What do you want from me? Hey, you know, if I'm holding you and you're not calm, so cry over there, what do you want? I don't think you're far out on that. You know, there are a lot of people like that too, and I don't think you have to be so concerned. Remember, there are different ages of children. And you have a lot of parents that are very good parents when the kid is 2 and 5 and 7 and 9 and 12 and 15 and 18. But between that being born and 2-year-old or 4-year-old, yeah, 2-year-old's really tough. What are you doing? I'm drawing on the wall. Why are you drawing on the wall? Oh, I shouldn't be drawing on the wall. Okay, I'm not drawing on the wall. Bye, Abba. What are you doing? I'm drawing on the wall. Go argue with a two-year-old. I'll tell you worse. What are you doing? I'm banging my brother. Why are you banging your brother? That hurts. Oh, I won't bang my brother. Bye, Abba. Uri, I'm painting a picture of my house. That's a two-year-old. So we keep sharp objects out of her hands. But that doesn't mean her brother doesn't get hit with other things. Okay.
Yeah, and Gaffney children have this talent to go for things they shouldn't, you know?
It's right.
They do things that I don't even understand. Like, a window was open, they start picking up stuff, picking off the window. They can do that for 10 minutes.
Right, Uri, you know, they sell things for that. They sell special nets to cover your porch and your windows, because that's what kids do, yes. They stand there and they marvel. You know, you'll see a kid can, at 1 year old, he'll sit there. You give him his, he wants to eat it, but first he takes it and drops it. So what I like to do is hold my hand underneath and catch it. And then it's there, and the kid is like, hey, no, I wanted that on the floor. Yeah, that's it's a stage in the growth. Kids do that. They want the challah. I'll eat the challah. But first they got to see it on the floor. It's a game.
I've seen it 5, 10 times.
I've
seen a two-year-old, you give me some. No, you give me this one. Oh, it's shaking.
Right. Okay, so I don't think a person should gauge himself based on a specific age. If at 4 years old, at 6 years old, you know, we're talking about family in general, and everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. Believe me, everyone's patients wear thin when they're finding you sleep deprivation. You've gone 3 weeks on 2 hours of sleep intermittently, and then you're holding the baby crying, and you're shaking, looking at him, and asking, "What do you want from me? Take the car, take the keys, take a credit card, whatever you want, just let me sleep." Right? You'll see, you get there. It happens, and you're... everyone has those moments. I remember someone called us when one of the kids was keeping us up over and over and over and over again and said, "I just called to check that you have bars on your window." So we said, "Why?" They said, "I wanted to make sure you're not going to throw the kid out." they try your patience, yes. And different people have different limits. So long as a person controls himself and isn't violent, so long as a person has control over his anger and his frustration, so I don't think one can be gauged based on their patience with a baby. There are different ages which are easier. Okay. I don't think a person has to be concerned or work on that. I don't think so. And that's not what I'm talking about. And there are mothers that have more patience for babies, and there are mothers who say, "I can't wait till they finish this baby stage because I don't have patience for it." And I don't think that's the question at hand. The point is, in general, part of my perspective has to be family. And that shouldn't be relegated to last place, but quite the contrary. First or second place. It has to be up there. I can respect the guy who says first place is my relationship with the person, how I interact with the person, no problem. I'm not sure what's even right. Maybe that's even more correct. Because the first thing you're doing is building your relationship. Then you as a team have to be able to build a home. Fine. That's why I'm not sure if it should be first or second. But it has to be up there. And all too often it isn't. And we're still going to discuss form of speech. You don't sit there on the first date and say, "If I were your husband." That's not a way to talk. When we discuss family, we discuss it in other ways, as we will discuss Bezrat Hashem down the road.
Is it a bad idea to date?
I'm sorry, Larry was waiting. I'll get to you in a second. Yes?
Yeah, I think with Ori's saying that there's also a big difference between other people's kids and your own kids in a way, because you're not investing in other people's kids, so you only find problems. I wasn't terribly keen on kids at all, I guess, until I started teaching violin. And I've got kids ranging from like 5 years old, every single age. And I find it's great. You know, you're working with the kid, you're getting something back from the kid's getting something from you, there's like interaction, there's like you're investing in the kid every single week. Like, not every single day, of course, but I mean, I definitely felt that my general opinion of the whole thing, like, I definitely got much more into it once I was working with them and, like,
Yeah, what Larry says, a lot of people also observe on themselves that every child they become a better parent with. And they can have more love because, like Larry's saying, you've invested more. And so that means the third, the fifth, the ninth, the 15th, okay, maybe not the 15th, but your capacity to love grows. Your appreciation for what a child is grows. Okay, so our first point that we discussed on why get married was the importance of family, the importance of that being part of the perspective as we speak to the girl, as we think about what she says and who she is. So as much as our relationship is central and key to the dating, so is the question, how can we function as a family? Michael.
Is it a bad idea to date a friend from childhood?
Is it a bad idea to date a friend from childhood? I don't think it's a bad idea. I think that a person has to be open to who this person has matured to being. And sometimes it's very easy to think the relationship is very good because you start 10 steps ahead. And the relationships we forged as children have potency that other relationships lack, and that shared history allows us to escape from issues in our relationship to fun things in our past, and we have to be careful that shouldn't happen. I mean, sometimes a couple can start forming a relationship, hit a bump, instead of dealing with that bump and checking if that bump is really a roadblock, they automatically revert back to all the fun things which they share. You understand what I mean? It's very easy to get misled that way. But other than that, no. I think it can be a great asset if the two really match. Just don't be misled. Just give it time and make sure that on your mature level today, you match and that you really match into the future. One of the problems with childhood friends is that very often our childhood fantasies and our childhood perspective prevails. And then it's very hard to build real perspective and a real relationship which will be stable enough to build a real family upon. But that's a hardship. That's not a reason not to do it. It's just something to think about. Are you with me? Okay.